Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. If you've been listening already, well, as you know, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. And you're going to be glad you did, because our good friend Bill Treasurer is here. Bill is a risk taker extraordinaire. He's a former flame diver. He dove off of a 100-foot tower, set a fire into a pool of only 6 inches of water, I think, maybe. He's a motivational speaker and, as I said, a former member of the U.S. high diving team. He's the author of Right Risk, and his new book is called Positively Mad. And he's our good friend Bill. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, how are you? Great to be back.
It's good to be back. So what was that, 6 inches or 8 inches of water? What was it?
Well, we were going from, I was a member of the U.S. high diving team, and diving off of a 100-foot platform into tiny pools that were often about 10 feet deep.
Yeah. How do you stop?
You know, there's a trick move that as soon as you hit the water, first of all, you're going feet first from those heights because your neck is too fragile to go head first. So you're 2 feet together. As soon as you hit the water, you sort of move into a pike position. You bend your legs forward at the waist, and it sort of scoops you along the bottom of the pool. I'll tell you, even though I was 100 feet in the air and traveling about 50 miles an hour, protected only by a Speedo, that I was still able to very oftentimes didn't even hit the bottom of the pool that was 10
How
feet
about
deep.
That? Well, that took a lot of courage, and I'm going to say courage because courage is bravery that's had time to think about it.
You know, I love that. In fact, I think that the way you typically define it is, courage is bravery that's had time to say its prayer.
That's exactly right, and somebody else said that too, and before I did. But I mean, you had time to think of it because you had to climb all the way to the top of that ladder.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about courage is that there's courage itself largely is a premeditated type of situation. There are instances of instant courage, but for most of us, we're confronting fear or confronting a terrific amount of comfort that we need to move out of in order to be courageous when we're in a courageous episode.
Right. And that comfort zone, if it's too comfortable, we don't leave it. I mean, nobody is going to leave some extreme comfort. It's only way you're going to get out of a comfort zone is if the comfort zone quits being comfortable.
Yep.
or if something else is motivating you more than that.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of times we think about courage as a confrontation with fear, and of course it is. At the same time, there's a whole other side of courage that is really about a confrontation with comfort. And it's moving from comfort intentionally, premeditated, in order to move to discomfort that the courage condition is having to take you through.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also being you know, unhappiness and being you know, being sort of disappointed in how things are going, that can cause you to demonstrate courage too, can it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, until the shift happens from, unless your dissatisfaction starts to eclipse your satisfaction, you're not going to move. And that's the danger of comfort. Comfort becomes so comfortable that over time it actually becomes a really dangerous condition because it becomes complacency. You know this because in the Air Force, for example, the Blue Angels, they limit their tour of duty to 2 years. And they do that because after 2 years, they're going to lose their sharpness as pilots. And then they become dangerous to themselves.
Right, right.
So, you know, there's a lot to be said for moving out of comfort and purposely being uncomfortable as a confrontation that allows you to be courageous.
What have you learned about courage since you started writing about it?
Well, it's really interesting. I'm writing a new book, as you know, and it's called Courage Goes to Work, and it comes out in September.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I learned is that courage is a confrontation with three universal challenges. The first challenge is, should I take actions, what I call the initiative challenge? It's the challenge of doing something for the first time, for example. The second challenge is, should I take a chance on this person? It's what I call the reliance challenge or the trust challenge. And then the last one is, should I tell them what I really think? Should I tell people what's on my mind? And that's the assertiveness challenge. And courage forms itself around really those three challenges and the three ways that I think that courage shape up. So I call them the three buckets of courage. The first is the courage that is associated with trying things. I call it try courage. And this is stepping up to the plate, having initiative, pioneering events, that sort of thing.
Hold on to that thought, Bill Treasurer. He and I will be right back, folks. I'm Jim Blassingame. The Small Business Advocate is 20 till. We'll be right back. Here's Jimmy, Mr. Jimi Hendrix, to take us out.
As I was walking down the street one day, a man came up to me and asked me what the time was that was on my watch. Yeah, I said.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Bill Treasurer. And that's just like treasurer, ladies and gentlemen, like the person who keeps the money. And Bill is the author of Positively Mad, also Right Risk. And your new book, again, is called?
Courage Goes to Work.
Courage Goes to Work. And so that's coming out in the fall.
That comes out in September.
Yeah, give us your website, Bill.
www.giantleapconsulting.com.
All right, so check that out. They can find your books there, can't they?
They can.
As well as wherever books are sold. Okay, Bill, you were telling us about what you call three buckets of courage.
Three buckets of courage. So these are the, you know, a lot of people look at different aspects of courage. We'll hear about moral courage, for example, or we'll hear about the daredevilry, which is a type of courage, or gambling or financial courage. But I think that there's something that really is common to all of those, and that's how we behave when we're being courageous. So I've developed a framework that looks at what I call the three buckets of courage. These are really three answers to the challenges that I mentioned in the last segment. The first bucket is try courage. It's doing something for the first time. It's stepping up initiative. It is really the bucket of leadership. It's doing something uncomfortable, but trying. It's the effort of trying something when you have maybe tried in the past and failed, or never tried it before and your knees are shaking.
Mm-hmm.
The second bucket of courage, unlike try courage, which is about action, the second bucket of courage is really about inaction. It's about relying on others, following others. Frankly, it's called the trust courage bucket.
Having the courage to trust.
It's absolutely. It's trusting the guidance of other people. It's exposing yourself to harm because trusting them may harm you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a courageous act nonetheless.
But it's the only way you can learn about people, isn't it?
It's the only way you can develop relationships.
And find out whether these people can be trusted or not.
Indeed. And the classic example is
and sometimes
delegating.
They can't be.
Absolutely, and all of us are going to get hurt in a relationship at some point.
Yep.
And yet, without trust, courage, you're never going to develop joyful and strong relationships. But a good example of trust, courage is the act of delegating to somebody, especially when they're sort of new, but they need to learn on their own a bit. And then finally, the final bucket of courage is what I call tell courage, and it's the courage of assertiveness, of speaking up, of saying the truth, of not just agreeing to get along to go along, but actually speaking your mind in a tactful and polite but nonetheless forceful way. And it's a very difficult form of
that is very difficult for a lot of people. Some people, it comes too easy for some people, and they wind up being, you know, somebody that nobody wants to be around. But courage combined with tact,
yeah,
it can be a very powerful tool, can it be?
You know, and it can be absolutely essential. You're right. There are some dominant people that have no problem with tell courage. In fact, I would say that that bucket for them is already full, so they probably need to work on one of the other buckets.
And it's slushing out on it.
Probably trust bucket.
It's slushing out on everybody else. No, that's a good point. They probably are deficient in their trust bucket, aren't they?
I would think, because it means that they have to dominate. They have to be the one in charge and in control. And so that's how the buckets sort of work. You look for the bucket that you are in most in need of filling. And what I would say is borrow from your confident bucket. You probably already have a full bucket. Maybe you're good at trying things. Maybe you are a very trusting person.
Do you think we're all courageous in at least one of these?
My own feeling, Jim, is that each one of us has the capacity to be courageous and that each one of us has a bucket that is more full than others. Now, proportionally, a given person may have low buckets, but they have at least one bucket that is a little bit more full than the others, and that's so confident to them that they don't feel like it's courage for them because they've got skills in that area already.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I do think that everybody has a capacity to be courageous, but knowing, do you think it's important, and I do too, you think it's important that we actually quantify our own levels of courage? That's important, isn't it?
You know, I think that it's very, very useful because it shows you the gap between how courageous you're being today and how courageous you need to be in order to be more successful. You know, we talked about the impact of fear and comfort, and I think that sometimes they get fused together into what I call comfortable. That people become so comfortable being afraid that they don't know how to move into their courage anymore because they've spent so much time being comfortable.
Right.
And so the solution, you know, you can't. I once did a talk for a major southern communications company, and I spoke to the president of the company, and I said, you know, what do you feel about sort of courage and risk-taking? And he said, Bill, I think it's essential that you do things that give you what he called sweaty palms.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, you should be doing something that extends yourself into the realm of discomfort so much that the physiological way that you know that you've now moved from your comfort zone to your courage zone is that your palms are starting to sweat.
Right.
He says, that's important for my people to grow this business, but it's important for me, too, as the president of the company. I thought that was very insightful.
Well, it is, and that's a good management attitude. But here's the thing though, Bill, none of that works if you don't have the kind of discipline and tools around that kind of courage, to where you know whether you're taking the right risks or not to restate the title of your first book. Then what you've done is you become foolhardy.
Right, and
your courage is turned into foolhardiness, and that's the problem. Bill, we've got to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, Bill has always tested his own courage, but something happened to him recently that really did test his courage, and he's agreed to let him talk about it on the show, and you don't want to miss this. Please stand by. 10 till. Bill Treasurer and I will be right back. Afternoon. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you can find the show and the articles and the archives and the Brain Trust and the newsletter and the blog. All that is at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, don't forget to check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. Both of those websites are there for you. Just we built them for you, and we've designed our business model so that you can have all that for free. Bill Treasurer is well represented in our Brain Trust and on our Small Business Advocate site. And folks, the number one killer of men is lung cancer in America, if I'm not mistaken. The number two most prominent cancer is prostate cancer. And Bill Treasurer, in the last couple of months or so, has had the second one. Bill, your courage has been tested, hasn't it?
You know, it really has. It's funny how this works. When I was writing Right Risk, I was actually grappling with my own risk of whether to leave Accenture or not. And it turned out that I did leave Accenture. They became one of my first clients, and I had worked there 6 years prior to that. And as I started writing this courage book, Courage Goes to Work, I had no idea that I would confront courage in an unusual way, and it would give me all sorts of lessons about courage. I had a checkup. You know, being a guy, I waited too long to get a checkup. I'm 45 years old, and I hadn't been to the doctor since I was about 39. And I just went for a regular old checkup, and they check now for what's called a PSA value. It's
right.
A prostate-specific antigen.
Yeah.
It turned out that my PSA value was sort of through the roof. I didn't even know how to spell PSA.
Do you know what the number was?
It was 8.
Yeah.
And eventually went up to 8.9. And so the doctors wanted to do a biopsy. I did the biopsy, and then I got a phone call from my doctor, you know, one of those phone calls you don't want to receive.
Right.
And he said, in fact, that the biopsy came back positive for cancer. And as soon as he said that word cancer, it's so, it hit your head like a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And nothing could get through from that moment that he said that for the next, couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out that the best option for a guy 45 years old is to actually remove the prostate.
Right.
But, before I figured it all out and got educated about it, of course, I'm starting to write my own obituary. You know, I've got 3 beautiful kids. I've got twins that are 4 years old. I've got a 15-month-old at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not ready to go anywhere. I've got too much work to do down here. And so it was a really, really trying time. Then I got educated about it, and it turned out that surgery was the best option. I hadn't had major surgery before, and this is major. This is not like having your appendix out. It involved complicated. They rearranged some plumbing system down there.
Right.
And they take the prostate out, and it's quite delicate because it impacts, a lot of other things that your body needs to do and wants to do.
Right.
And so it was extremely nerve-wracking. I'll tell you one thing that I learned. And so here's the deal. Literally 1 month today, I had the surgery.
Wow.
Yesterday, I went out of town to Chicago and worked with a client.
Yeah.
I've been working the last couple of weeks at the computer. I'm going back to Chicago next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the road and everything is fine. I didn't lose my hair. There's no chemo involved. There's no radiation involved. I am myself, but I've got 6 incisions in my belly. But the thing
the surgery is not as intrusive as it used to be. They don't open you up as much as it used to. But here's one of the main things, Bill. If I could stop just for a second. Here's one of the things that I think is a most important part of your testimony right now, and I want you to know, folks, it takes a lot of courage for Bill to be able to come out like this and talk about this. And Bill, I want you to know that I appreciate it very much, and that you're going to save some lives today, because we're going to remind people, gentlemen, don't wait till you're 50 to have a PSA. Get it done in your 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Have the courage to get a PSA and to have one every year.
Don't be a stubborn male about going to the doctor. Get to the doctor and get your checkup annually.
And you know what? A PSA is it's nothing. They take a little blood. If you don't get your lungs checked, if you don't get anything else checked, have them go to the doctor and have them draw a little blood and do a PSA. And do it. And Bill, it does take courage, though, to do it, because you don't want to know the news.
You kind of don't.
You're afraid of the news.
And then you walk into that fear. What if you find out that it's positive? It's no doubt it's scary, but I'll tell you what you can do to reduce the intensity of that fear.
Quickly.
You talk to as many people as you can, and it's exactly what I did.
Yep.
I talked to people who had the same surgery and such, and it worked out. And the
absolutely.
Good news is I'm here. I refuse to not get a lesson about it, and I refuse to not help other people learn about it.
Bill, thank you for your courage, and God bless you, and we're proud of you.
God bless you back, Jim.
Good luck.
Thanks for having me back.
Bill Treasure, ladies and gentlemen, a very courageous man. I got to go today. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.